The conflict that would later become known as the Hundred Years' War did not begin with a single insult, a dramatic declaration, or one unavoidable battle. It emerged gradually from a dense web of rival ambitions, family connections, disputed territories, economic pressures, and political expectations that had accumulated over generations. When open war broke out between the kingdoms of England and France in 1337, neither side could have predicted that the struggle would continue, with interruptions and shifting fortunes, for more than a century. The rulers who first entered the conflict believed they were defending traditional rights, protecting inherited lands, and asserting legitimate authority. Yet the war they unleashed would transform medieval Europe, redefine monarchy, reshape military culture, and leave deep scars across both kingdoms. To understand why the conflict began, it is necessary to look beyond the immediate quarrel between Edward III of England and Philip VI of France. The roots of the struggle reached back to the 11th century, when the political map of Western Europe became increasingly complicated after the Norman conquest of England in 1066. When William the Conqueror, Duke of Normandy, defeated Harold Godwin's son at the Battle of Hastings, he became King of England while remaining a major French nobleman. This created an unusual situation. The ruler of England was not merely a neighboring monarch. He was also a landholder within the Kingdom of France, owing obligations to the French crown for his continental possessions. This arrangement was not immediately impossible, but it contained the seeds of future tension. Medieval kingship depended on a hierarchy of personal relationships. A nobleman who held land from a king was expected to perform homage, provide military assistance, and acknowledge the superior authority of his lord. Yet when the King of England crossed the Channel to perform homage to the King of France, the ritual created an obvious contradiction. As King of England, he was a sovereign ruler. As Duke of Territories in France, he was technically a vassal. The question was not merely ceremonial. It affected taxation, justice, military obligations, diplomacy, and the control of strategically important lands. The problem became even more serious during the 12th century, especially after the rise of the Angevin Empire. In 1154, Henry II of England inherited a vast collection of territories. Through his family and his marriage to Eleanor of Aquitaine, he controlled England, Normandy, Anjou, Maine, Touraine, and the enormous Duchy of Aquitaine. These possessions did not form a centralized empire in the modern sense. They were a patchwork of lands held under different laws, traditions, and feudal relationships. Nevertheless, their combined size made Henry II one of the most powerful rulers in Western Europe. In practical terms, he governed more French territory than the French king himself. The kings of France viewed this situation with understandable concern. The early Cape Breton monarchy was far weaker than later French kingship would become. Its direct authority was concentrated around the region of Paris and a limited royal domain. Much of France remained controlled by powerful dukes and counts. The King of England, because of his continental lands, was one of the most formidable of these nobles. He was also an independent monarch with resources from across the Channel. The political relationship between the two crowns was therefore unbalanced and inherently unstable. The French monarchy gradually worked to reduce English power on the continent. One of the most important moments came during the reign of King John of England, the youngest son of Henry II. John faced serious political problems, both at home and abroad. His disputes with French nobles, his reputation for unpredictable behavior, and his conflict with Philip II Augustus of France weakened his position. In 1204, Philip II seized Normandy from John. This loss was a turning point.